Romans and the meaning of the Bible. I am into Romans like crazy. I'm reading and studying and so enjoying the book of Romans. Some parts will be much denser to work through than others. Tonight won't be. Some of the parts of Romans have real thorny issues that I just love it when we can scratch our heads and stretch our minds and get our hearts wrapped around truth that doesn't just lie right on the surface. And some of the arguments that Paul gets involved in and some of the issues that he touches on will be just good for us as a church to work our way through. Tonight I want to look at the first 15 verses. What does the gospel do when it's received in faith? And I want to start this way. This isn't in your notes, so you don't have to even look down at it. Someone comes up to you and says, "Are you a Christian?" You don't know this person. Maybe you're at a bus stop or at work, and they say, "Are you a Christian?" And you say, "Yes, I'm a Christian. What would follow that? Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. What? Believe in Jesus Christ? Believe he's the Son of God? Believe in God? Said the sinner's prayer. I think most of us move in this direction. Yes, I've accepted Christ. Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm forgiven. It's interesting, though, the number of different responses you might have to come up with that. Are you a Christian? Yes, I go to Cedar View. I hope that wouldn't be what you'd say. Yes, I'm a Christian. And so we'd all find things to put in there. I like the way Paul starts off this letter, the writer of this book. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He describes himself with these three very important terms. I'm not saying you'd have to use these words. I do think you have to have some concept, though, of this. Servant, you probably have the same thing there in your text. Servant, called, and set apart. And Paul uses those words. All those words will help Paul establish his credentials to a group of people he's probably never met. They've never seen him. And so in a world of false teachers, false religions, false apostles, false leaders, Paul wants to find some way. How do you establish your credentials? Why should these people listen to him? This is a pretty common opening if you go through all of Paul's letters, epistles we call them. You'd find that he uses terms like this with slight variation perhaps, but he uses them over and over again. And they become common in his usage, but never common in his understanding. What I'm very afraid of in the contemporary church is that it leans lopsidedly just toward the forgiveness received in the gospel, leaving the expression of life sort of unmolested. And Paul, while certainly grateful for forgiveness, he writes about it in many places, but predominantly, Paul didn't see himself as cleansed by the gospel. He saw himself as claimed by the gospel. Servant, slave. He saw himself as free to live his own life on his terms, as is a slave free to live life on his terms. And everybody knew, especially in that day and culture, when Paul wrote about a slave, everybody knew what a slave was. And that's why Paul chose the word. He didn't have to. Wasn't a glamorous term. Still isn't. But he wants to pinpoint, here's my conception, he says, of what it means to be a Christian. I am not a person who's free to do what he wants with his life anymore. Those days died. When Christ saved Paul, he separated Paul from everything else. And now, as then, there's really no other gospel offered. Paul's a person who's just constantly aware of whom he serves and on which terms. Servant, called, set apart. If when you say, of course I'm a Christian, and if the dominant theme in your mind is what you have received, that in itself isn't untrue, but it probably shouldn't be foremost and central. I'm a Christian. I'm a slave of Christ my Lord. Watch me. I'm a Christian. When people come to my office, lots of times people come in, and this happens to everyone on staff, but lots of times when people come in, they've come in off the street, they don't come to this church, they come in, they want to talk about different things, sometimes they want help, sometimes they want money, sometimes they just want to talk about their problems. I'm at the place where I never, ever, ever, this will shock you, I never ask anybody if they believe in Jesus anymore. And here's why, I've never asked anybody who said no to that question. What they mean is they believe that there was, isn't that, yes, that baby, Christmas, Jesus, I believe, died on a cross. Beautiful stuff, too. The Lord's Prayer, Sermon on the Mount, golden rule of all, I just try to live by. I believe in Jesus. I don't ask anybody if they believe in Jesus. I know it's a perfectly good term if you have all the understanding of it, but by all the understanding.